Good morning, Emmanuel. And a very warm welcome to you, all including those listening at home. If we have any visitors, please make yourself known to us. For those of you listening at home, Robert is leading the service and Jeff is playing the organ. Our reader this morning is David Bevan. I would like to highlight three events in our weekly news, please. Firstly, the church meeting being held after this morning's service. Please do stay, even if you are not a member, as this is one of the most important decisions this church has had to make. Secondly, next Sunday at 4:30 p.m. we are holding the annual Remembering Our Loved Ones service. This service is not just for those families who Robert and Jeff have taken funeral services for this year. We warmly invite anyone who has lost a loved one, however long ago, to attend. It is a lovely service. Thirdly, the Old Town Partnership is holding its AGM this Tuesday at Emmanuel here at 7:30 p.m. I know many of you don't like coming out on dark evenings, but it would be great to see as many of you who could attend. I believe also that the prayer diary is at the back of the church, so if you haven't picked it up, do pick one up. I will now light the Christ candle and the peace candle, and we will have a moment of quietness to prepare our thoughts for worship.
Good morning and welcome all of you to our worship service this morning with the sun shining through our windows and a clear sky. We give thanks. Some of you will probably remember that quite a number of years ago through World Concerns we had a speaker that was a very impressive young man that came and spoke to us about his experiences, family, Olive Grove in Palestine. He came through Christian Aid, if you remember, and he talked to us one Sunday morning. And there are things that I have not forgotten. And when he left, he gifted the church, and it's as such hanging in the vestry, fish, ictus, as I was reminded this morning, from the Greek, the Bethlehem. And I got this stole at the same time. I've had it for many years. It's not that new, but it's the first time I've used it. So I thought that today was an appropriate day to remember his presence. If you remember, he talked about the difficulties of getting from his home on one side of the wall to getting to the olive grove, the family olive grove that was on the other side of the wall. And that happened in our church. And I just felt that I could not mention it this morning, given the situation. And in a visit I did this week, somebody reminded me, sadly, how in the reality in which we're living, one war seems to make us forget the previous war that was happening and is still happening, such as the Ukraine reality with Russia, has now not hit the press for a long time because it is a Hamas and Israel situation. There are people still dying, particularly children, women, hospitals. So our prayers for all those that are suffering. But I wanted to remind us of how certain things happen in our life and years later catch up with us. And the reading for the call of worship today is from Psalm 147. Let the redeemed of the Lord, those he redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Let the redeemed of the Lord, those that have been gathered from every corner of the earth, praise the Lord. The readings today, this one included, all come from the lectionary. I don't think I would have chosen them myself, but when they were there, they started haunting me. And I hope that today, by the time we get home, we will see a connection between the then and our now. But we are here to praise the Lord, even in the midst of things that are difficult and complicated. So let us sing from Rejoice and Sing, Hymn 49, Sing Praise to the Lord. be seated. We come to God with our prayer of thanksgiving and confession, and we will end with the Lord's Prayer altogether. We come to you, we sing praise, we recognize you, carer, creator, sustainer, true love. And we are here today, how we are, with our certainties and our doubts, with our hopes and our frustrations, with our questions, and with the hope to find some answers. We come, dear God, and are grateful as the sun shines and the sky is blue. We come and give thanks for all those people, the world around, who have engaged in the protection and care of your creation. In every corner of the earth, there are people planting new seeds, planting trees. They may not see them flower, they may not see them grow, but we know that in that simple act of love, they are doing something for generations to come. We come and give you thanks for those who seriously get up every morning to give of their time and their talents to teach the future generations, to heal those who are ill, to encourage those who are downtrodden. Dear and loving God, they make a difference for the present and the future. We give you thanks for those who love us, not because they fill each instant of the day telling us, but simply because we are reminded that they are there. And they are the people that have the word we need to hear, or the silence that makes a difference. We give you thanks for those who take their position in life seriously, that make a big difference in every area of life. Loving God, we give you thanks for that which makes us better people. And when you add this to what is happening to so many people in the world, those little moments are a light that shines in the midst of so much darkness. Thank you. Thank you because you still believe that we can make a difference. And forgive us. Forgive us for the things we take for granted. Forgive us when we forget to stop and look and listen. Forgive us for not believing in ourselves. And forgive us, dear God, for all that upsets others. Each and all of us, O Lord, have those days when we can be aggravating and where it makes it very difficult to live with us. It's true. It happens to us all. But love will change us and make it easier to get on with each other. And at this time, O Lord, we bring before you that which is very close to our heart that we only want you to know. So listen in the silence that follows to our prayers. Let us take a deep breath. Just as the original breath of life entered humanity, let the breath of the Spirit fill us, make us new, and we can proclaim to the world your love. So we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The choir will now lead us in the anthem for this morning. If you'd like to follow the words, it's from Rejoice and Sing, hymn 601, Christ is the world's true light. Listen to the words, follow the words, because they're leading us to the readings that will follow. And in this day and age, we need that light.
The first reading is from the Old Testament, page 878. Reading from Micah chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. And I said, "Listen, you heads of Jacob and rulers of the house of Israel, should you not know justice? You who hate the good and love the evil, who tear the skin off my people and the flesh off their bones, who eat the flesh of my people, flay their skin off them, break their bones in pieces, and chop them up like meat in a kettle, like flesh in a cauldron. Then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not answer them. He will hide his face from them at that time, because they have acted wickedly. Thus says the Lord concerning the prophets, who lead my people astray, who cry peace when they have something to eat, but declare war against those who put nothing into their mouths. Therefore, it shall be night to you without vision, and darkness to you without revelation. The sun shall go down upon the prophets, and the day shall be black over them. The seers shall be disgraced, and the diviners put to shame. They shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer from God. But as for me, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression, and to Israel his sin. Hear this, you rulers of the house of Jacob, and chiefs of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with wrong. Its rulers give judgment for a bribe, its priests teach for a price, its prophets give oracles for money. Yet they lean upon the Lord and say, 'Surely the Lord is with us. No harm shall come upon us.' Therefore, because of you, Zion shall be ploughed as a field, Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountains of the house a wooded height." After that one. Well, we all recover. Then the second reading is from the New Testament, page 24, Matthew 23. Verses 1 to 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. Therefore, do whatever they teach you and follow it, but do not do as they do, for they do not practice what they teach. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on the shoulders of others, but they themselves are unwilling to lift a finger to move them. They do their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. They love to have the place of honour at banquets and the best seats in the synagogues, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have people call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all students. And call no one your father on earth, for you have one father, the one in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. All who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." This is the word of the Lord.
I did say a few moments ago, if they hadn't been in the lectionary, these were not necessarily readings I would have chosen. But they have been part of the lectionary for longer than I've ever been born, so sometimes there are no coincidences. For the last few weeks in the weekly news, we have been putting in verses of hymn 641. we pray for peace, asking you to reflect on it, because lots of people said, we want to show, we sing it, we feel that the words are important. Today we're going to sing it again. I know we sung it about a month ago, but I wanted to sing it again, given the opportunity to have reflected in prayer on those three verses that were published. It's hymn 641, We Pray for Peace. Please be seated. Loving God, in whose eyes there are no favorites, only beloved children, cure our quest for sacred power and status symbols. Give us grace to live as learners and servants of your word. Through Jesus Christ, who is abased, that we may rise. Amen. To those of you who are readers of Reform magazine, in the November issue that has just come out, there is a very interesting article. Which book of the Bible should I stop overlooking? Which book of the Bible should I stop overlooking? I thought it was a really good challenge. one that I share with you today. What Bible book haven't you looked at for a long, long, long time saying it's too complicated? I know. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Interesting, the reflection in the Bible notes for today, the guy begins by saying, trouble with the book of Jonah, of Job. He's such a good guy. Why does all this happen to him? I have fights with God, and I'm not educated to have fights with God. Don't worry, you haven't thought or said anything that Job hasn't thought before. What book have you never, ever, ever read? I confess I don't have much of a liking for the book of Numbers. It's so sterile and boring. But, okay, there must be some reason that illuminated minds of the past thought it was good enough to fit in the Bible. They have a wisdom I have not received. But if any of you one day reading the book of Numbers says, look, Robert, I found a key to understand it, feel free to share. You can even come up here one Sunday and tell us all about it. I know that in the last few weeks, some people have told me, oh, the book of Leviticus in the Bible notes, that was difficult. I find it quite interesting. But okay, there we are. I know that Psalms is a book that many people go to. But Psalms has some horrific moments there. Just the last verse of Psalm 137 is one that we don't usually read. How to sing to the Lord in Babylon. May our tongues stick to the roof of our mouth if we forget you. But then, let's end the psalm by saying, and we catch a kid by the feet and bash its brains out on a rock. Not me, Psalm 137. If it surprises you, it's because we haven't read it for a long time. I don't think I've ever had that verse read in church. So there we go on. So today we have two readings, one from the Gospel of Matthew. I don't think many people have too many objections with Matthew, the first book of the New Testament. Not the first to be written, but the first that appears. Known and loved for many different reasons. And then we have the book of Micah, probably one of the ignored ones, though it does have a verse or two which people will go to every so often. Let's do our best in the short time we have this morning to see what these readings say to us. David did feel after reading Micah that he was thrown into something that if I'd chosen, I wouldn't have been the reader for this morning sort of thing. I get it. Don't get rid of the messenger. He was just reading. And what he read is in the Bible. We are living in a very, very hard situation. But what do we know about Micah? Do we know anything at all? There's not much that I can say except that he was a farmer. And it's interesting how God often calls to be prophets people who come out of something that is not prophetic, not religious, no priests, no prophesier, no seer, a farmer. Probably complaining about the weather. I've been told that farmers the world round always have something to say about the weather. So there it is. He was a victim or suffered the policies of the rich, which led to wars and to injustices. Not my words, just in case. But I agree with it. He lived in the 8th century before the Christian era. One day he goes up to Jerusalem, not because he wanted to, but because he was commanded to shout out God's indignation at what is going on. And if you heard David read the passage in chapter 3, you get a pretty good idea of what was going on. We can group him together with Amos and parts of Isaiah and Hosea. And if Micah is to be remembered for one verse only, it's chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's probably Isaiah's top 10. Micah's top 10. So what does chapter 3 say? It's divided in three sections. The first one, rulers are confronted with a terrible question. Now, This is not reading today's newspaper or yesterday's. This is 800 BC. Should you not know justice? Should you not know justice? Question to the rulers. You who hate the good and love the evil, cry to the Lord and there will be silence because you have acted wickedly. Verses 1 to 4. Doesn't take him long to get into the heart of the matter, does it? And after having written this, reflected on it a good part of the week, yesterday I was absolutely horrified when somebody who will remain nameless said, living in the street in tents is a lifestyle choice. Walk the streets of any city, and I would not trade places with any of those people. It's not my choice, and I doubt very much it's their choice. May God forgive the blatant use of words. Then in sections 5 to 8, the prophets have been caught up with greed, he says. They only speak peace when somebody comes and fills their mouths, but will speak war when their mouths are empty. Again, the Lord will be silenced. There is injustice and they will be put to shame. And then the final section of this chapter. The leaders once again are confronted by the prevailing injustice. It says, these leaders abhor justice, pervert equity, build on blood. They only act if they are bribed, give oracles for money. And the last words are so harsh to hear. Because of you, to the leaders, remember he's speaking to the people in Jerusalem. Because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins. Change Jerusalem for any name you want, where there is conflict, where there is violence, where there is injustice. It's there. And here ends the recognized text of Micah. What follows, chapters 4, 5, 6, are a rewording of Isaiah. These first three chapters are his original words. And then the reading from Matthew tells us of a situation Jesus has with scribes and Pharisees. Again, they don't come out very well in this situation. Their teachings are a burden for the people, while they parade themselves in ostentation of their roles. They love to be shown to the best seat. They walk around with their phylacteries. Do you know what those are? The little boxes on their arms and on their head where they have Holy Scripture saying, it guides every thought and every word. Yes, of course it does. They do not work for the people, it says. They do not defend justice. They do not speak truth. They should not be called rabbi, instructor, or teacher, because they exalt themselves and only themselves. And it ends with, they will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. The two readings go together. They are 2,800 years old. But in a way, I'd love to see this sort of writing on any newsreel and any newspaper of the world around. Do you wonder why the establishment didn't like prophets around? There aren't many who have words that encourage those who are there with a position of responsibility. I'm nearly coming to the end, but I want to read a poem I translated this week from this good friend of mine from the Reformed Church in Argentina. And he's in a workshop in Central America, and he put this up on the website, and I wanted to share it. It's called Do Not Follow Their Example, based on Matthew 23, 1 to 12, the reading, the second reading, the easier reading that David was confronted with this morning. There they are, in broad daylight, no shame at all. Pharisees of yesterday and of all times, look around and you will see who they are, because there is no way you can ignore their presence. Be careful. Do not follow their example. They have become specialists in tight and immutable theologies, but you will never see them laugh or hug and never cry. Do not follow their example. They know off by heart texts, norms, laws, but they have lost their capacity to see with their eyes and of love. They walk around filled with the pride of their moldy moral codes and hide their miseries under the shameful carpet. Do not follow their example. They condemn, accuse, prejudge, persecute, abuse their distilled hatred and the poison of their dead doctrines. Do not follow their example. They proclaim the justice of their actions, but they have never ever shared in solidarity. Do not follow their example. They tightly grab their words and the flag of their life, but constantly pass by the pain of others. Do not follow their example. They weekly attend their temple services, but forget the good news of the gospel on the pews as soon as they leave. Do not follow their example. They sing, they praise, they confess their sins, but they never live out mercy and compassion. Do not follow their example. Their elaborate liturgies are precise and faultless, but empty of flavor, of smell, and the warmth of life. Do not follow their example. Rather, look around, see the people, humble and simple, who in the streets dance the good news that does not submit and sings the rebellion of the rhythm of hope. Those are the people who in suffering continue to smile. That is the example to follow. Yes, the great and the small, the good and the bad, side by side in both these readings. But having heard them, nothing is clearer. And this is what those who want to be followers of the values of the kingdom are called to do, to say, and to live. And I pray that we are in that group of people together with so many others in this world. It is the way we live our life that will touch the lives of others, not what we say if we have forgotten the good news in the pew where we sat on Sunday morning. It is through the lens of these readings that we should look at the reality in which we live and respond. Is it tough? Oh God, it is. Tough if we try and do it alone. Tough when we do it together. But impossible if we think that it will be achieved only with human strength. It is a narrow way we have been told about, and it is the way we have been called to live, with the help of the Spirit. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We turn to you, O God of every nation. Hymn 654.
Let us pray. Being disappointed and weary seems to be a common feeling within us at this present time. Maybe it stems from the political upheaval in the late 2019, followed by the pandemic and ensuing political, social, and financial issues. Maybe it is the apparently unceasing rounds of conflict that we humans appear to bring upon ourselves. We think of the terrible violence taking place in Gaza and Israel. It feels as if we have seen it all before, but this time with so much proximity brought about by the news media, it seems and possibly is worse than before. We pray for those innocents caught up in the terror, for their friends and family who can only sit tight and wait. We pray for the politicians and leaders who control much of the decision making, and for those who seek to report the news with accuracy and integrity, and for those who care for others and seek peace. Jesus, it seems beyond our understanding, but we still pray with all our hearts that a way forward might be found, that love might shine through. Forgive us for feeling as if hope is being lost, and renew us with a new positivity and healing. Weary, too, are those who suffer in other war zones. We remember those in Ukraine who are now facing their second winter. Long-running disputes in Iran, Afghanistan, Somalia, and Myanmar become normalized and forgotten. Help us to remember that these are your people. People have friends and families, lives to lead, livings to make, and the need for happiness and peace. We are tired of hearing about elections that are meaningless, where choices of candidates are limited or non-existent, and voters feel they have no power. We pray for governments to be just and fair, and politicians who are not only interested in their own careers and short-termism. Inspire our leaders. Let justice roll like a river and hope be renewed. It also seems like a long, long journey searching for the path to becoming carbon neutral. Help us to put one step in front of the other to attain our goals. Help nations to keep their promises in working together. Help us to work as one to find answers, to not cast blame on others, but to do the best we can. We pray for those who find it difficult to conquer the problems they face, day in and day out. We pray for those who struggle to make ends meet, for those who do not feel safe in their own homes, for those who feel lost and abandoned. Lord, our Father, our Mother, comfort these individuals. Fill them with renewed strength to face the new day. We think of those who await treatment for health issues. We know that the NHS is still struggling under its huge load, and the future looks no brighter. We pray for those individuals who lift spirits with their unceasing care as they work for the good of others. Jesus, teach us to live in the day and to leave the future in your hands. Lift our mood and help us move in hope. Help us to enjoy each day and to focus on the good. The Reverend J. Brown says in his poem, The Now, "Do not let disappointment of the past nor of the future take from you the gift of the moment. For in the now is all the time you have and all the time you need." And as Isaiah wrote, "But those who trust in the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. They will rise on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not grow weak." So as we prepare to face the world for another week, We bring to you, Lord, the names of people and situations that lay heavily upon our minds. In love, we intercede for these people. Refresh my weary soul, I pray, and may I be like a tree that has been planted by the flowing rivers of life. May I sink my roots deeply into you, Lord Jesus, knowing that my hope is in you alone. Fill me, I pray, with all hope and joy, and may I draw ever closer to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for those prayers, really. And having shared our prayers of intercession, we respond through that which we have been able to set apart at the time of the offering. Remind us, Lord, that we aren't alone, that who we are, what we have, what we can do and what we can say is connected to the lives of others, that we as a church here today, with those present and with those who aren't able to be here, rejoice in togetherness. And the offering that we now present to you is part of that. Bless those who have to decide its use, and bless us in our life, that it all may be to the glory of your name. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Please remember that after the service comes to an end, we will meet in the hall for the church meeting. And as Anne said at the beginning, it is an important meeting. So please come along and share with us at that time. And now, hymn from Sing Praise. Sing Praise, we change hymn book, remember. Sing Praise 287, Let Us Rejoice. God's gift to us is peace. Here is the calm which bids our striving cease, for God's acceptance brings a true release. Alleluia. May we go in peace. Challenged, yes. Comforted as well. Hopeful as much as we can, because we are God's children and we will be meeting God's children wherever we go, whether it is near or far, whether we know them or don't. God, through the guidance of the Spirit, is leading. So the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon us, those we love, with those we find difficult to love, and with God's people everywhere. Go in peace. Rejoice in the Lord. Amen.